Well, the title of this morning's message is Easter is for you. Easter is for you. And the theme of the message is that God will meet you, Christ will meet you where you're at. Now, Easter, it reminds us of the most significant day, the greatest day in all of history, where a man, not just any man, but the God-man, God the Son, Jesus Christ, He rose from the grave after a horrific, horrific crucifixion. He rose from the grave, and over 500 people, eyewitnesses, saw Him after His resurrection. Amazing. And Jesus, without question, has impacted this world like no one else in all of history. It's the day we celebrate that Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, rose from the dead. This is the true meaning of the day that we celebrate. Now, this took place in the Holy Land, and I'm reminded of this story. There was a man and his wife and his mother-in-law, and they all went on vacation to the Holy Land. Now, let me tell you this. The mother-in-law was no joy. She was a real mean, mean woman. Now, while they were there in the Holy Land, the mother-in-law passed away. It's not a true story, so don't get sad. Now, the undertaker told them, you can have her shipped home for $5,000, or you can bury her here in the Holy Land for $150. And so the man, he thought about it for a little while, and then he said, you know what, why don't you go ahead and have her shipped home? So the undertaker, he was wondering, and he asked the man, why would you have her shipped home? That costs $5,000 when you can have a wonderful burial here for just $150. And so the man, he said, well, about 2,000 years ago, there was a man who was buried here, and then 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and I just can't take that chance. Now, all kidding aside, there is a chance that we can't take. None of us can afford to take this chance. And that is to leave here today without allowing the message of Easter to speak to your heart and to provoke thoughts in your mind about your relationship with God and where you are at with Jesus. Now, whether you are far from Christ or whether you have a right relationship with Christ, Easter is for you. That's the good news of the Easter message, that it is for you. Now, perhaps emotionally you're not doing too well today. Something has happened to you and you're down. Or something has happened to someone that you love and you're down today. Or perhaps you might have blown it big. You've had a real spiritual failure and you're carrying that weight of guilt on your shoulders, so to speak, today. Or perhaps you're disappointed with God. You're disappointed with God because you thought God was going to do things a certain way in your life and you thought maybe by now you would be in a certain situation, and you feel like God has not come through for you, and you're disappointed with God. And whatever your circumstances, or wherever you're at spiritually, I need to remind you that Easter is for you because the resurrection of Jesus reminds us that there is hope. There is hope for a better day, a new beginning, and a brighter future in Christ. Now, God said this in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, it's been said, and I quote, "Man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only for 1 second without hope." Now, at the time when Jesus rose from the grave, his resurrection brought hope to hurting hearts, who prior to the resurrection of Christ were grieving as a result of his horrific crucifixion and death. So this morning, I want us to look at three scenes in history. Number one, how Jesus' resurrection brought hope and comfort to hurting hearts. Number two, how Jesus' resurrection brought hope to a man who had a major spiritual failure. And lastly, how Jesus' resurrection brought hope to those who were disappointed because they felt that Jesus didn't come through for them the way that they thought he would. Now, I draw your attention to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and together we'll read beginning in verse 1. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint Jesus. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. He said to them, "Do not be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had casted seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, and they mourned, or rather, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard it, they did not believe that he and had been seen by her, they did not believe, rather. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Let's pause and let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would bring application to each one of us out of your word. Only you can do this, God. Only you can meet us where we're at. We're all so different. We have different paths, different things that we've gone through, different challenges, different hurts. Lord, not one of us are the same. We're all so unique, and yet we're all so loved by you. And even at times when we don't feel your presence among us, or at times when we don't, just having a hard time seeing how you're involved in our lives, it almost seems like you're not there. God, I pray that you would just remind us today, remind us through the teaching of your word, how you are a very present help in time of need, in time of trouble, and that you do love us with a perfect love, and that by your Spirit you want to draw us into a right relationship with you. God, we pray that you have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Mark tells us that early on that resurrection morning, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went to the tomb. You see, they weren't expecting a resurrected Christ. Because as Mark said, they bought spices that they might come and anoint Jesus. Now this they did out of love and devotion to Christ, as they wanted to care for his body that they assumed was decomposing, and the spices were to help address the odor. Now, I can see the scene in my mind's eye. They were on their way to the tomb. They were brokenhearted. They were confused. And with major grief in their hearts, their minds, they were just filled with these pictures of what they had seen previously, just a few days earlier. They saw their Lord brutally killed and crucified. Now, their hurt was so profound because they lost someone very special to them. And Jesus, he had a profound effect on them. He had changed their lives, and now he was gone. What I want to do is I just want to look at Mary Magdalene for a few minutes. Mark tells us that Jesus casted 7 demons out of her. Now imagine for a moment the kind of torment that poor woman went through. Who knows what that really meant? Was she hearing voices in her head just tormenting her, telling her a bunch of negative things, just tearing her up inside? Was she very highly functional and still be able to function, and yet had a spirit that was just being tormented? We really don't know. Not sure how she got into the condition. But regardless, her past couldn't have been too good. She had to be involved in some pretty dark stuff, I would imagine. And most likely, she lost most of the contact she had with people because of her severe condition. I would imagine most people wouldn't want to deal with her. And perhaps she was living an immoral and promiscuous lifestyle and used to use her body just to survive, as some scholars and Bible teachers suppose. I would imagine if these things were true, before she met Christ, she probably was really feeling that her life was just a waste. But to Jesus, her life was not a waste. Now, Jesus, he loved her. And Jesus came into her life at some point, three years prior to the resurrection story. And he showed her great compassion, a tender mercy. He showed her great love. Jesus, he met her where she was at, and whatever her circumstances were, he loved her. He reached out to her, and he got her back on her feet. Now here, some years later, Mary Magdalene is on her way to the tomb to anoint a dead man's body, one that she loved very much because he had helped her like no one else in her existence. But she was mistaken. And she thought she was going to anoint a dead man, but Jesus, to her surprise, had raised from the dead. And Mark tells us that Jesus appeared to her first. Could you imagine Jesus being there and her hearing his voice? Because initially, when she saw him, one of the accounts tells us that she thought that she was speaking to the gardener. But it was when Jesus called her by name, Mary, when she heard his voice, she knew it was her Lord. And maybe you're here and Jesus is calling you, Mary, Joe, Bob, Tony, Jim. He's calling your name and he's calling you and he wants to draw you. He wants to meet you where you're at, just like he met Mary where she was at and helped her and restored her and strengthened her, and her heart was once again filled with great joy and gladness. Jesus again met Mary where she was at and comforted her and gave her a renewed perspective and restored her hurting heart and gave her the hope that she needed. But she wasn't the only one that the resurrection of Jesus impacted so greatly. There was a man mentioned by name who had a major spiritual, I don't want to call it blowout, but blunder. The angel that appeared to these women said to them, "Go, tell his disciples." And then by name, the messenger says, "And Peter." I wonder how many of you are here today and you've had some real spiritual blunders. You're hurting. You feel the guilt, the weight of your sin. And you're thinking, you're here, but you're here like on the last string. And you're almost contemplating, it's over for me. That is not true. As we're going to see in the story of Peter. You know, this is significant that Peter would be mentioned by name, because the last time Peter locked eyes with Jesus was right after Peter had denied knowing the Lord. And we understand that Peter was one of his top disciples, I guess, if you could put it that way. He was among the inner circle, the Peter, James, and John. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years. He heard all the teachings. He even walked on water for a few seconds, and then he sank, and he did the wisest thing anybody could do when you're sinking spiritually. "Help! Lord, help!" And Jesus was right there. He reached his hand, and he brought him to safety. And that's what Jesus always does. And now here, years later, Peter's in a situation where he once again blew it big, and Jesus was predicted that Peter was going to blow it. And he told him that he was going to have a real fallout, so to speak, and he was going to deny him. Peter, he couldn't imagine denying his Lord that he had been with for 3 years. He couldn't imagine. He didn't understand everything that was going on prior to the crucifixion, those final hours and day or so before Jesus was arrested. He didn't understand everything that was going on. One thing Peter didn't realize, that his commitment to Christ was not as strong as he thought it was. How many of you have been there? You thought, you're doing really good spiritually. Things are great. You really walk with the Lord, and then something happens. A challenge comes, a test comes, and you're not where you thought you were. And the very thing you thought you would never do, you've done. And you feel horrible. But today's a day of deliverance. Today's a new day. It's a new beginning. Where'd you come? New Beginnings Christian Fellowship. It's a new beginning for you. God wants to do a work in you, just like he did with Peter. Now, Peter, after the Lord had predicted that he would deny him, he said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, you can turn there, verse 33, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And then Jesus, he said, "Peter," this is when he told him, "you were going to deny me. I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny three times that you know me." And then we follow the account as it's revealed here in Luke chapter 22, beginning now in verse 54, where Luke writes, "Having arrested Jesus, they laid him and brought him to the high priest's house. But now Peter, he was following at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." And in verse 57 of Luke chapter 22, it says, "But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I don't know him.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'You also are of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' Then after about an hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.'" And in other accounts, it tells us that Peter was cursing and swearing, saying, "I don't know the man." Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And then, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Man, I wonder what that expression was on the Lord's face. I know if it was me, I'd be like, "I told you. I told you. So stupid. You don't listen. What's wrong with you?" That's the Hispanic in me coming out a little bit. But I have to believe that Jesus probably looked at him with mercy in his eyes. And that just crushed Peter's heart, man. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. When was the last time you wept bitterly? Probably been a long time. Maybe some of you, it hasn't been that long. But Peter, he wept and wept. He blew it big. So, by the angel telling the woman to go and tell the disciples that Jesus rose from the dead, and singling out Peter by name, tells us of the concern that Jesus had for Peter. Jesus sent the message to Peter because Jesus wanted Peter to know that though Peter blew it big, Jesus' love for him was bigger than Peter's great failure. The Holman's Bible commentary says this, and I quote, "It is interesting that it is Mark who received his material from Peter who put this phrase in the gospel. Peter, it seems, wanted us to know that no matter what we have done, God's gracious hand of forgiveness can bring us back. Even in our darkest moments of despair, He is there." Now, after the resurrection, Jesus met Peter where he was at. Jesus restored Peter and encouraged Peter and gave him a new perspective and gave him hope for his future. You could read on your own the account further in John's Gospel, chapter 21, 22. Now, this leads us to our final thought. Those two men. Those two men that we read about, Luke tells us a little bit more about those two men. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 13, we read, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him." Kind of reminds me of Undercover Boss. How many of you have seen that? Undercover Boss. Jesus is like the undercover Jewish carpenter. He's the boss. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you're having one with another as you walk and are sad?" I'm sure he just wanted to hear their perspective. And they didn't recognize who he was, and they were quite honest. Then one, verse 18, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And so they said to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But here it is, listen. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. See, for these two disciples, it seems that they had lost hope. And they were disappointed because Jesus didn't come through for them the way that they were thinking that he would. Now, for us, being on this side of the resurrection, it might be easy to think poorly of these disciples because Jesus prepared his disciples for his death and resurrection by telling his disciples on numerous occasions that he would suffer many things in Jerusalem, be killed, and 3 days later rise from the dead. And so it's easy to think, what's wrong with these guys? Why didn't they get it? They just weren't getting it. But then I got to be honest, and I wonder, chances are, if I was there, I would have responded the same way. I probably wouldn't have been any different. You know, the fact is that Jesus was the one they were hoping for. They just didn't realize it. Because, see, Jesus didn't line up with their thinking. And sadly, they were wrong. Their thinking wasn't right about God. See, he was their Redeemer. And as far as Jesus was concerned, the plan of redemption never changed. Jesus' plan never changed. They just didn't get it. And so they were disappointed with God. But Jesus met them where they were at, and they didn't need to be disappointed. There was no need for them to be without hope concerning their circumstances. Why? Because they were thinking that Jesus didn't come through, so they were disappointed, but they were wrong. Jesus came through, and Jesus always comes through. You know, as I look at my past, before I knew Christ in a personal way, I can relate with these guys. Because I thought God had to be a certain way, and as I was getting older and getting more exposed to the world and not so young and so naive, I started having some conflicts within my heart. And then it got to a point where I just almost was getting to the point where I didn't even want to believe that God even existed because life was so hard and I was so hard inside and hurting. And I wouldn't show that to anybody on the outside. But it was becoming a reality. And you know, I realized when I came to Christ, although it's been a process, I've been growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, but I realized that a lot of the reasons why I felt the way I felt was because my thinking about God and Jesus was wrong. And I thought he was the one with the problems. I thought he was the one who owed me an explanation, and he was the one, and it's like, well, and come to find out, I was wrong. It's just that they were expecting Jesus to do things the way they were thinking, and a dead Messiah didn't line up with their thinking. And first, the first coming of Christ, Jesus Christ, he came to die on the cross for our sins so that we, through faith in what he has done, can be forgiven of our sins. And he loves us with such a perfect love. Oh, he is going to come a second time. He is going to come. And he's going to establish his kingdom. But they just didn't quite understand the timeline. They expected a militant Messiah that would come and remove the Roman government from power over their nation and set up his kingdom. And the nation of Israel with the Messiah would be the superpower of the world. Now, after the resurrection, Jesus met them where they were at. And he showed them that they were wrong. And their anticipations of God and Christ were wrong In verse 25 of chapter 24, Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, on that first Easter, Jesus met Mary, Peter, and these two disciples right where they were at, and he renewed them. You see, Easter, we understand, is about the resurrection of Jesus. But by faith in what Jesus did, we are the beneficiaries of what Christ did. Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Paul tells us this: "He was raised to life to make us right with God." And today, on this Easter day, Jesus wants to meet you right where you're at, and make you right with God, and renew you, because Easter is for you. Now, perhaps today, you're doing well. You are in a right relationship with the Lord. Things are going great. You're walking with Christ. You're blessed. That's awesome. That's awesome. And we're thankful. I'm thankful that you're blessed and you're doing well. But perhaps for some of you, that's not the case. Perhaps you're here and you're down, you're hurting, or you're disappointed with yourself because you've blown it. Or maybe you're even disappointed with God because he didn't meet your expectations. Maybe there's another reason. One thing I know for sure is that Jesus loves you. And he wants to help you. He wants to meet you right where you're at. And so I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. I want to pray with you. I invite all of you to close your eyes and to bow your heads. And I want to pray with you that God would have his way, and that I pray that you would open your heart and respond to the Lord. If you've sensed the presence of his Holy Spirit pricking at your heart, even just in your own heart as I'm praying, you could pray along with me. You don't have to say anything out loud, but you just pray. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for every heart that's here. Lord, I know that you love each one of us. And you're looking right now, I believe, you're looking at us with love and mercy, with eyes of mercy and compassion. Your thoughts towards us aren't evil, but they're good. You desire to do a good work in our lives. And I know, God, that you're drawing people. Your Spirit's at work, and you're pricking hearts. And God, I pray that you would give those the strength to respond, that they wouldn't be afraid to respond to you, Lord. And with every head bowed and all eyes closed, listen, if you haven't made a commitment to Christ and you feel the Spirit of God drawing your heart, this is an opportunity for you to make a commitment to Christ. I just want to ask you, just raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you specifically. If you want to make a commitment to Christ, go ahead, raise your hand, or a recommitment to Christ. You can go ahead and raise your hand and make that commitment. Maybe you've strayed away from the Lord, and you know that the Spirit of God is drawing you. Don't be afraid. God loves you. Don't be afraid. You go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hands up here in the front. I see your hand. And that's beautiful. God, I see your hand, but God sees your hearts. Anyone else, I see your hand in the back. Anyone else, now's the time. Raise your hand. Now's the time. This is your opportunity. I see your hand. I see your hand. And I just want to pray specifically for you. Lord, each one of these that have raised their hands, they had sensed your spirit and they responded to you, God. And I think that that's just such a wonderful, beautiful response of faith. I pray that you, who knows their situation, that you'd fill them with your spirit, God. You'd strengthen them, even as they are crying out to you, as perhaps some of them are just repenting and asking you for forgiveness. They, in their heart and with their own words, they're acknowledging that they're a sinner. And they've turned from you, Jesus, and they want to turn to you. They want to live their lives for you. I pray, God, that you would strengthen them each and every day. And Lord, salvation is a work of your Holy Spirit. Only you can save. And so, God, as they have responded, whether it's a first-time commitment or a situation that they're in now, I pray that you would direct them and help them each and every day with the next steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.